97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, Shannon, welcome back. Of course, you know where I had to start this morning, right?
Exactly. Where a lot of folks started their morning, which was this briefing out of the Pentagon.
Well, I mean, anything surprising out of that to you? I mean, I think it was interesting to hear General Kane describe just how technically accurate these weapons were and that they knew what they were facing. And I felt like I was watching, you know, Maverick Top Gun because they had to hit the ventilator shaft. And I mean, it was a pretty amazing description.
It was. And what Chairman Kane has been so good at, I think, is humanizing this as well, talking about the young women and men behind these operations and exactly what they were facing and how they stepped up and did incredible things. And I think you're right. From the minute we started talking about this on Saturday night, I was like, I've seen this movie. You know, we all have a feeling, if you've seen Top Gun Maverick, that you know just how difficult this is. Obviously, that's a different situation. But the precision, the training, all the things that are happening for years that we don't know about that goes into. So when these missions come available, the opportunity, the window is there. Our men and women are ready to go.
How do you feel? I just want to ask you a personal question here. I'm sure you know Jennifer Griffin. She's worked for Fox for years. Hegseth made a pretty pointed attack on her today, saying that she was one of the worst. I don't know where that came from. How does it make you feel when you hear things like that?
You know, it's a little tricky because obviously we've all been colleagues. And so we do have a relationship of having work together essentially on the same team.
Right.
I think they're both very independent voices. And I think that they're both going to go with the information that they believe is correct and right and true according to their sources. They have different sources, maybe some of the same sources. So it's just one of those things that, like, you know, essentially we've been in the same family. And I think that there's affection there, but clearly there's some frustration there, too.
Yeah, you pick up on that for sure.
Shannon, in about, what is it, like 40 minutes or so, we're expecting the Supreme Court to release more decisions. And I mean, we're in crunch time now. What are you keeping a close eye on today?
So I think the biggest one that we are awaiting is nationwide injunctions. Can a single federal judge anywhere, we know there are about 700 of them across the country, shut down a law, an executive order, a policy for the entire country? It's the biggest case of the term. They added these May 15th arguments. They never argue a case in May. That's the really big one. But we've also got cases that deal with, you know, funding for Planned Parenthood through government funding of Medicaid. We've got this case that's in our area here in the D.C. area of that could ripple far beyond it, which is, can parents opt their kids out of lessons with books that they find objectionable to their religious faith if they're in public school? So we've got 10 left. We'll see what we get today, and we'll see if they finish up on time tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the big one, I guess, last week was the decision on trans surgeries in Tennessee, correct? Because that's going to have an impact here in Missouri.
The thing is, there are more than 24 states that have very similar laws that will now have, you know, essentially the blessing of the Supreme Court if they pretty closely mirror what was done in Tennessee. And we were a little surprised to get that last week because normally we think it's, you know, one of the biggest ones. It's going to be last week. But they did surprise us a little bit with that 6-3 ruling. And some people would argue it was sort of a 6.5, 2.5 because Justice Kagan wasn't fully with the dissent, but she was, you know, with a good chunk of the dissent. But essentially, you know, what the Chief Justice said is, listen, this law passes the constitutional muster test. And because of that, we leave this to the states, the people, their elected representatives, to work out issues like this one.
Going back to the what you mentioned about funding, I think it was for Planned Parenthood and maybe as it relates to Medicaid, that's in the Big Beautiful Bill, right? So how would that be different? Because I thought the Big Beautiful Bill basically would pull funding from Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and you know, they've tried to do this so many times in so many different ways, the GOP has. So we'll see what survives this so-called parliamentarian review in the Senate, what survives in the bill, what gets back to the House. You know, we're just not sure exactly what will end up in the final thing that gets to the president's desk. This case comes out of South Carolina, where the governor has issued an executive order twice saying that, you know, Medicaid funding can't flow to Planned Parenthood because there's a chance that money's fungible, that it could flow to abortion, which is against federal policy and federal law in almost every case. There are some exceptions. So a lot of states are watching this to see, because if South Carolina wins the right to do this, to say, listen, Medicaid can go to all these other clinics and family planning and all these different things, but if there's an abortion there, then the governor has the right to block the funding. It'll be really interesting to see what the ripple effect is if the court makes that decision.
Yeah, and now there's less than a week till they've got to pass this, right? I mean, I know it's not a hard deadline, but the president wants them to stay in Washington until they get this done. Do you think that's realistic?
Senator Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, told me last week that he would keep them here.
Oh?
And so he's like, if the Senate is still running up against this holiday situation, I'm going to keep them here. So they are all very much on notice that that could be their weekend. The House seems to think they'd have a little bit of time, but the Speaker says, I'll bring them back next week on a holiday week. If the Senate gets its work done, we'll be here to pick up wherever they drop this bill in our lap.
So is your big guest this week going to be Zohran Mamdani?
You know what? Don't laugh. We asked for him.
Well, I'm sure.
I would like that interview.
We reached out to him and I said, listen, is this the future of the Democrat Party? The establishment here in D.C. seems a little rattled that they don't really want this to be kind of their spokesperson for the future. But we asked because I got a lot of questions for him. So they haven't said no. They haven't said yes, but we'll see.
Well, you know, Curtis Sliwa has run for that office several times. And I mean, if he ever had a chance, this might be the year.
Yeah. And apparently his team has got some polling that they believe there's a lane for him.
Okay.
If these other folks are in and kind of dice and slice the other votes that are available.
Yeah.
So stranger things have happened.
That's for sure. Do you have anybody else confirmed you want to talk about for Sunday?
We do. We actually have two senators from across the aisle who've agreed to come on together, Senators Coons and Curtis. They want to talk about the places that they do have some bipartisanship, but of course we'll push them on Big Beautiful Bill and war powers and all these other things where they may not agree, but we're always thankful when folks agree to come on and have a bipartisan conversation together.
Yeah. Shannon, don't have too hard of a day with the Supreme Court stuff. I know you have your hands full in a few minutes.
I've frozen a couple of bottles of water to take out there with me. Not my first rodeo. So 95 degrees, we are prepared for you.
We will be watching, Shannon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.